Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. All glory to you, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm asking that your spirit would be mighty and pour out greatly upon these people today, Lord. Lord, I pray that your will be done. Lord, your kingdom come. Lord, grab hold of my heart once again, my mind once again, Lord. Lord, use me as a vessel. Lord, speak, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Not just in this moment, but in every moment of my life, Lord, have your way. Stir my heart, Lord. Stir our hearts. May we hear you, Lord, and may this Sunday be different from every other Sunday in our lives. I thank you, Father, for you're good and worthy to be praised. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The message today is entitled, We Need to Pray. We need to pray. I am going to make a statement here, and it is, it takes faith to pray. It takes faith to pray. And let me also say this. You believe that we have to pray as a Christian, but do you believe in the power of prayer? And that is where a lot of Christians are today. We know that we have to pray. We know that we're supposed to have a prayer life. We know this, but do we believe in the power of prayer? Amen? This is what cripples the church. This is what is crippling your life, Christian. Because you have some anger, because you have some racism, because you have some divisiveness, because you may have lust, because you may have an addiction. You may pray, but you do not understand the power of prayer. In Mark 9, 23 through 24, there was a gentleman who had a young son who was possessed by a demonic spirit. And he had heard that Jesus was the healer. And he brought the little boy to Jesus so that Jesus could heal him, so that the disciples could touch, lay hands and heal him. Nothing could be done. So he brought him to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, can you heal my son? And the Lord tells him, can I? With a question mark, can I? And in verse 23 through 24, it says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That is where a lot of you are today. That's where I have been in my life as a Christian at times. You believe, but you have unbelief. You believe that God is willing, but you do not believe in the power of God. You know you should pray, but you do not understand the power of prayer. And that's why we still struggle. That's why we still hold on to the things of the world, because we truly do not believe that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And this is going to make you or break you today. It is the heart of God that you be made whole. It is the heart of God that you be healed once and for all. Jesus asked several people in Scripture, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Because though they claimed to want healing, did they really want to be healed? Sadly, people like to sit in their misery. They like to cry, woe to me. And this is not the will of God for you. God wants you to be free. God can set you free in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes. In Mark 26, 36 through 46, on the night that Jesus was arrested, betrayed, falsely accused of being a blasphemer, it says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." He was about to go to the cross. He knew what was required to go to the cross. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, John and his brother, and these three accompanied Jesus a little bit farther into the garden. And Jesus was so deeply distressed because he was displaying his humanity as God. He was displaying that this was something that no human being could go through, but only God in the flesh. And in verse 40, it says, "Then he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" He was saying this directly to Peter. And today he is saying this directly to you and to me. Peter was about to betray Jesus and deny him in just a few hours. Peter had known Jesus, walked with Jesus, shed tears with Jesus, prayers with Jesus. And yet, he looks to Peter in astonishment. "You could not pray with me 1 hour? You could not stand guard, stay awake 1 hour? Watch and pray, or you will be tempted. You will fall into temptation. You're either going to strengthen the spirit or you're going to give into the flesh today." Prayer is our only weapon, because prayer is a result of faith. But when we believe, and not only that, but when we receive, we believe and we know that the power of God is on our prayers. Look, who has a family member right now that is in sin? And if they were to die today, they would be in danger of the fire of hell. Do you know it's God's will to heal that person? Do you know that that is the will of God? The Bible says it, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." It is God's will that they not perish. And so when you pray for that person in the name of Jesus, and you believe with all your heart that God is going to answer that prayer, it shall be done. Now, the same goes with everything else. "Lord, I need a new Lexus. Lord, I need $1 million in the bank account." That's not what I'm talking about, guys. Yes, you may need a car. And yes, you need some money to pay the bills and do things. So you begin to say, "Lord, you know my needs. Lord, you know what I need. I know what I think I need, but you know what I need. Lord, I need your help." And you walk away from that prayer rejoicing because you know help is there now. Amen? You pray in the will of God. It's God's will that you live, that you have food. It is his will. But the scripture has clearly demonstrated that the man said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." He was contradicting himself. What was he saying? He was saying, "Yes, Lord, to a certain degree, I have faith, but I don't have enough faith." People say today, "All you need is a small measure of faith." Well, you know, there is different levels of faith. Do you know that the gift of faith, that is a gift of the Holy Spirit? That is a totally different operation of faith right there. Yes, faith that you believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead and paid for your sins. But I'm talking about a greater faith that takes you into the maturity of Christ, that takes you into the realm of heaven. But we're too busy. We have many obligations to meet in society. Our job requires us to work, to work, to work, pay bills, pay bills. Our sicknesses will hold us back. And we're not driven to our knees in prayer. To have a successful prayer life with the church, you first must have a successful life in your personal life. A successful prayer life in your personal life. Do you pray at home? And I'm not talking about crying. I'm talking about praying. Some people just cry to God. We're taught to pray. You give Him your needs in hope, knowing that His will is perfect. Look, guys, the realm of evil that is coming upon the face of this earth is so deceiving that if you do not get this message today, some of you will not make it. You will not. I speak to many online. I'm speaking to you. And so, verse 42, again, a second time, Jesus went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." He's talking about going to the cross. Is there any other way to save humanity? Verse 43, "And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away, and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and he said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Brother, sister, are you still sleeping and resting? Are you still being ignorant of the plan of God? Are you still being fooled by the plans of Satan? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." The devil is at the doorstep today. The devil is tugging on your heart. Parents, I say this to parents first who have children. Guys, you do not know the great influence that you have over your children. Some of your children will be in an eternal separation from God for eternity in hell, in the lake of fire, because you didn't touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. They're watching you. "Well, mama and daddy don't pray, so it's not important for me to pray. They don't talk to Jesus. They don't have that right relationship, so it's not real." You're teaching them about Santa Claus and teaching them about the Easter Bunny. They grow up and they realize these things are not real. They don't exist. And now you want them to believe in Jesus? When you have a biblical life of prayer, you begin to see yourself the way God sees you. The only way you can see yourself is when you have a personal prayer life with Jesus. And it cannot be religious. It cannot be a repetitious cycle of this and that. It has to be genuine. It has to be real. Some of you spouses, married people, you get up in the morning and you look at each other and you go, "Ugh." Why? Because that is your attitude towards Jesus. But when you get up in the morning and you tell your spouse, "Good morning, how are you today? How are you feeling?" It's because you have a heart of gratitude and thanks, because God put that there, because you've been spending time with God, and your desire and your heart and love is for others as well. You don't just get up and start going about the day. You get up first and you spend time with the Lord, because that day may be your last day on earth. That day may be the most difficult day you ever have on earth, and you need Jesus. I dare not put my feet on the floor until I've talked to Jesus. This is how real your prayer life needs to be. Open your heart before you put your feet on the floor. Amen. Some of you are battling with depression, with anxiety, with fear, like that song we sang, that song, "I Speak Jesus." Well, the first time I heard that song, it moved me so greatly. I wanted to just fall down, because a song is powerful. You know, the Rolling Stones, the Eagles, all those rock bands had some powerful songs. because of the spirit of the world was upon those songs. And people to this day, in their 60s and 70s, they still sing those songs. Why? Because the spirit, they allow the spirit of the world to influence them. How much more the spirit of God, when it falls upon a song that brings you into the joy of the Lord, and it reminds you of the goodness of God, and those things are everlasting. Those things are eternal. I know. I used to have long hair. I get so angry at young guys that have all this long hair, right? Because I used to have that long hair too. Used to play in the rock bands when I was younger. But as you grow up and you realize who you are in Christ, most of us, it's when we're gray and older. Jesus says, you must be about prayer. You know, you are in the Garden of Gethsemane today. You're in the last hour. Paul understood the need for prayer. The Apostle Paul, I want to show you two scriptures. The power of prayer, Paul understood it. Paul knew that it was just not good enough for him to pray, but he needed the prayers of the saints. A lot of time, work, the move of God will happen in your life, not because you were praying, but because somebody else was praying for you. And you'll just say, oh, I prayed one time. Oh, God, thank you. Yes. And you don't really have a strong prayer life. And you know who you are. But yet you'll see God move, right? Because God was hearing the prayers of others. Let me give you this example. In Colossians 4, 2 through 4, Paul says to the church, he says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us. He's talking about him and the apostles, the disciples. He says, pray also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul wrote 13 books of the Bible. He asked for prayer to help him do what God has called him to do in his ministry. Look, Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Look at this. Another place he says to the other church, he says, with all prayer and petition at all times in the Holy Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints, all the believers. He goes, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He depended on the prayers of the holy people, of the righteous, of the saints. And today, so many Christians are failing because no one's praying for each other. No one's praying for themselves or praying for each other. And this is a shame in the church today. Your life should be a house of prayer. The church will say, well, we meet on Wednesday to pray. You think that's good enough? The devil comes at you every single day. You think that's good enough? What keeps the church open? Prayer. What keeps you on the alert? Prayer. What keeps the hand of God moving? Prayer. Jesus says, you have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. When you ask and pray in the right heart, in alignment with Scripture, in alignment with the will of God, you'll see God move time and time and time again. But so much of the church today is for theatrics and for feelings and for smoke and fog and the lights and the professional musicians. I'm no professional musician. I mess up all the time when I play. Professional musicians would hear me and say, oh, this guy don't know what he's doing. But what I do is to Jesus. Amen? Amen. When I get to heaven, he'll perfect my ability to play perfectly. If Paul was in chains, you're in chains. That could be a good thing or a bad thing. I would rather be enslaved to Jesus than enslaved to the devil. If I'm enslaved to Jesus, I'm a slave to Jesus, I'm a prisoner of Jesus, and that's a good thing, because Jesus says, he who has me has life. He who does not have me does not have life, does not have the Father. In Acts 12, 5 through 16, Peter was in prison for the same reason Paul was, for speaking about Jesus to the Romans, to the Jews. Peter was in prison. Peter was going through a lot of hard things in prison. Look, Acts 12, 5 through 16. Peter was therefore kept in prison. Look, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. We have some brothers and sisters in Christ that are in prison today. And I'm not talking about those iron bars. I'm talking about spiritual prisons. Are we in constant prayer for them? Well, let's look at the effect. Look, verse 6. And when Herod was about to bring Peter out that night, Peter was sleeping. Look at that. He should have been awake, but he was asleep. Peter had a little problem. This was probably at 3 in the morning, the same time Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane with Peter, about 3 in the morning. Peter was asleep then, and Peter was asleep now. It wasn't the prayers of Peter that got him out of jail. It was the prayers of the church. Watch this. Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." And so he went out and followed him, and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent this angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." You see, Peter did not know if this was real or not, because he wasn't praying about this. I've heard pastors say, "Well, Peter just had an assurance." Look, let's say this. We have an assurance, but we're called to pray. If the church had the same attitude, they wouldn't have been praying either. And that's why I said, sometimes God will move in your life, but it's not because you were praying or that one little prayer you threw up. Others have been praying for you. And when you get to heaven, all the glory will be the Lord's. And you'll see where you missed God so much, but where they got it. And Jesus is deserving of glory. Jesus is deserving of us pouring out our blood and sweat and tears into this life that we call planet Earth, this place planet Earth. We got to get a prayer life. We need to pray. We need to believe that God is faithful and God will move. Miss Faye, she's almost 90 years old. And she has a list. And I know sometimes she'll call some of you and she'll be on you. That's why you're laughing. You know, and sometimes you get a little testy. But she understands what's at stake, and she has a prayer list. And I'll call her and I'll tell her some things that are going on in the church to put down on that prayer list. I said, "Miss Faye, we need your prayers. You are a prayer warrior in this church." And I'll tell her who's visited. I'll tell her the their family's names or something like that. And she writes the names down and she starts praying for them for many hours. And I'm like, "Michael, I'm praying, but also I got Miss Faye praying. And there's others that are praying too." See, Peter was sleeping. And some of you are sleeping. Not a care in the world that you're in a prison. Oh well. See, had Peter been praying, and when that angel came and visited him, he would have known exactly what was going on. So, "I've been praying for this. And God is answering my prayers. Hallelujah. I know this ain't no vision. This is a real deal here." Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 12, watch this. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, Peter did, and the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Look, where many were gathered together praying. They were praying at that very moment in the middle of the night. We call for a prayer meeting. We have our all-night prayer services here periodically. Some come and some don't because they got to work the next day, and I understand that. But when God calls us to pray, God comes first. Or I can't stay up that long. That's too long for me. Well, then I guess people in prison are just not that important to you. God is not impressed by us praying all night. It's required for us to pray as the Spirit would lead us. A lot of us would not be able to function or recognize the move of God if we were in the early church back in these days. We would be like, I got to go plow the field. I got to go take care of my horses and my goats. I've got so much to do. Verse 13, and as Peter knocked on the door at the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is his angel. And now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They were praying in the middle of the night, 3, 4 in the morning. That's about this time. They were praying and praying in a house full of people, full of Christians, praying, knowing Peter was in jail. And it was important for them to come together and to pray and to pray and to pray. We have a hard time getting people to come pray here, 7, 8 p.m. on Wednesday nights throughout the years. I praise God for who is here. I thank God. And you know, they have the research that goes out now. And I don't know if that amounts to a hill of beans or what. But the research is that only 20%, 10% of the church shows up for prayer services. We have about, I don't know, 50, 60 members in this church. And we have about 23 to 25 people that show up on a regular basis. So you do the math there. I'm not really all for that. I just think that when the door opens and pray, we should all be here. You know, on Sunday morning, it tells you how famous the preacher is in that church. Prayer night, it tells you how famous Jesus is in that church. In Acts 4, 23 through 31, it says, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. This is Peter again, who was in trouble. And so when they heard that, the whole church, they raised their voice to God with one accord. Peter had just been let go by the chief Pharisees for speaking the name of Jesus. And Peter and the disciples, they go to the house of God, to the house of prayer, and they said, hey, we were set free. We look what happened. We spoke the name of Jesus, and they told us not to speak the name of Jesus, or they were going to arrest us and beat us the next time. They're telling this to the church, most likely that same house of prayer, the same Christians, most likely. And so verse 24 says, so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. That's what the churches need to do. We need to raise our voice with one accord. But when we have this agenda and that agenda and this and that, we cannot raise our voice in one accord. Look at the one accord. They said, this is what they were all praying in their heart. Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David had said, why did the nations rage and the people plot in vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your church, the servants, that with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They prayed for boldness, and they received it right there and then on the spot. Hey, you hear what I'm saying this morning? They prayed for boldness right there and then, and they received it right there on the spot. It's God's will that you be bold. Look, go with me, Hebrews 4:16. Here's a scripture. A lot of you are like, oh, I've got to be bold for Jesus. Yes, Hebrews 4:16. Yeah. Pull it up, say amen when you get there. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore boldly come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God wants you to be bold in His name. He wants you to be bold for Him, because He was bold first for you on the cross. You're bold when your team doesn't win. You're bold when you don't get your way at work. But when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're timid. And it's called to be bold. You're called to be bold. I don't care what the world says about Jesus. I know what Jesus has done for me. And I owe Him my life. I owe Him my eternity. And my life is in Christ's hands. And one day, Michael Garcia may have to back that up with his own blood. I don't know. I'm not looking for that. But one day, you may have to back that up with your own blood. They're coming against the Church of Jesus Christ in this world. The Constitution of the United States will be ripped up and done away with. It will happen. It will happen. And it is coming faster than you realize. Now, we are bold in Christ. And we are sincere for Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Let me read this last passage. Matthew 21:12-22. Now, you have to learn to read the Bible in context of chapters. It's important that you do that. You read the Bible in the context of the chapter. You don't just pick a little here and a little there and put it all together. You have to read it in its context. Now, I want to read something to you in context of a chapter. We preach, but we also teach. Matthew 21:12-22. Y'all know this passage. So I'm going to go straight through verse 12 to 22. Watch this. Then Jesus went into the temple of God, and He drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. And He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And He said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves." Jesus was jealous for His house, because they were making money with the things of God. And that is what a lot of churches are doing today. They're taking the word of God and they're peddling it for a profit. And Jesus says the church today, the church then, the place of the people of God, their hearts, their mind, where you assemble, it's to be a house of prayer. It's to be dedicated to the calling out of God Almighty. Yeah. Y'all know this verse, right? Now let's read on. Verse 14. Then the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. You see that? They were not allowed to come. They weren't coming. Today, they're not coming right now. The blind and the lame are not coming in right now into the churches. Why? Because it's not a house of prayer. Once Jesus went and cleared out that temple, then the blind, then the lame came in, because other business had been going on there, and the Spirit of God was not in that place. Is that our church today? Is that your home today? Is that your heart today? Are you serious about God? Put down that habitual sin that you're dealing with. Put it down, throw it away, cast it out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Or the devil will have his way with you and your family. To whom much is given, much is required. Let the power of the Holy Spirit fall upon you. Let the Holy Spirit fill you with boldness. Let the Holy Spirit fill you with power, that you may honor your Lord and Savior all the days of your life. Let it happen now. Receive it in Jesus' name. Verse 15, but when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise?" God can make anything praise his name. He can make the rocks cry out. He can make the heavens cry out. And that is what the earth is doing today. There's earthquakes. There's rumblings in the heavens. There's signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Why? Because even the creation is crying out for the redemption of the souls of men. Even creation is crying out to humanity. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Let's keep reading the next verse. Then he left them, and he went out to the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. You have that? He was hungry. Verse 17, let's read it again. Then he left them and went out into the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing the fig tree by the road, he came to it, and he found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." And immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they were marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done." Look at this last scripture. "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Now let's back all this up before we close. Jesus, in this chapter, had a problem with the house of God because there was no prayer. And he cleans it out. And then the people start coming to get healed. Amen? And then he corrects the religious leaders because the children were crying out to him. He corrected the religious leaders. Religious leaders need to be corrected today. And then he let a night pass. He wakes up in the morning, "I'm hungry." Praise God. And he sees a fig tree and he curses it because it was not doing what it was called to do, what it was created to do. And that is what Christ will do to so many. You'll be cursed because you were not doing what you were created to do. And that was to bring glory to God. The Bible says you were bought with such a price, Christian. Honor God with your body. Your body, your mind, your soul must be a house of prayer. We need to pray. And Jesus says, whatever things you ask in prayer, comma, believing, comma, you will receive. Yes, we are called to pray, but we must believe. You remember the man at the very beginning? He said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." You cannot fool Jesus. At least this man was being honest. And I believe that's why the man's son was healed, because he was being honest with Jesus. He says, "I know I'm supposed to believe, but I still have some unbelief in my heart. Help me, Jesus." That may be where you are today. You know you believe to a certain degree, but you don't have the right belief. He didn't even have the faith as small as a mustard seed. Didn't even have that. And a lot of the church today likes to stay at that infancy stage of faith. "Oh, well, as long as we have a mustard seed, God will move." That's such a shame. Because God wants us to grow in our faith. God wants us to grow in our knowledge of those scriptures. God wants us to grow in the Holy Spirit. God wants us to mature from faith to faith to faith to faith. You get what I'm saying? He wants us to grow. And only He can make us grow when we are open and surrender and we are led by the Spirit of God. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the daughters of God. And so this is the message. We need to pray. We need to pray. Your favorite TV show's on, but God all of a sudden says, turn it off and pray. You ever been in that position? Let me turn this off. Or watching the Astros, bottom of the ninth. Three balls, two strikes, two outs. Oh no, the game's on the line right here. And the Lord says, turn it off. We need to pray about this, about something else, not the game. What do we do? That's something that's so baby and infant thought process there. Turn it off. What about something that's more deeper? When you're out there in society and the Lord tells you, go and tell that woman that her works are incomplete before me. And I'm like, I don't even know that woman, Lord. Go and tell her. And I'm like, no, that's not the Lord. That's the enemy telling me something, making me look like a fool. Only to realize it was the Lord telling me that. And I missed an opportunity. The Lord will speak, but you must listen. And not only that, but the Lord wants you to speak to Him. Let us boldly come before the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that He is willing to pour out His grace and mercy in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16. You know, that's the scripture of this church. Hebrews 4:16. That's the foundational scripture that this ministry is built upon. Hebrews 4:16. He wants us to be bold in Him. He wants us to boast in Him. He wants us to brag in Him. He wants us to be always in Him. Amen? So when you have anger, when you have fear, when you have doubt, get on your knees. Start praying in belief. Start praying in a deeper faith. And watch God heal you. Amen? Receive that word in Jesus' name. Give the Lord Jesus a hand clap of praise. Amen.